Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse 12. I want you to kind of understand, I've been using this verse every week in this series. We're doing a series on why we need each other. I think online it's under the word community. We'll change that, but it's why we need each other. It's the power of community, what community means. We went through several weeks, about 18 weeks of the power of a seed. And now we're in the power of community, and I try to get as much into you as I can, but I'm going to tell you, if you've missed in the past few weeks, you need to get online, you need to get on our podcast, you need to listen, because it's not what we're saying, it's the truth of what God says today. Listen, I can tell you things all day long and not change your life, but one sentence of truth from God's lips, from God's Word, will change everything in your life. And today we're not preaching our own opinions, today we're preaching truth. You need people in your lives. You will never accomplish what you were meant to accomplish without people beside you. We tell them all the time, you want to see where you're going in life? Look at who you're going with. You want to see how far you're going in life? Are you going with anybody? Because if you're going alone, you cannot run as far alone as you can run with other people. You say, well, Brother Josh, I just don't understand. I don't know. See, we've been looking at some things on how you need people to walk with you and how you need people to work with you. We said, hey, listen, God's answer to community. Community is God's answer and solution to loneliness in your life. And community is God's answer and solution to brokenness in your life, to denial, to despair, to fear. It's God's answer to all the fatigue that you're going through. You need people to walk with you. You need people to work with you. You need people to watch out for your soul. You need people to wait with you and weep with you when you're going through something. Matter of fact, I challenge you, if you're going through something tough, to get on and listen to last week's sermon. You might think, and it is common practice, people believe that the way to heal, I was on the phone with somebody last night, well after 11 o'clock, and I was telling them, stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to be alone. And I've got every excuse that you probably have in your life too. Well, I've reached out to people and they've hurt me. I've been to churches and they burnt me. Not everybody is that way. You say, well, Brother Josh, how do I know how to find good people? I will tell you this. Good people will find you. They will find you, but you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to get to the right place, and you've got to say, hey, I need somebody. I tell them all the time, you know, you think that going into your house, locking yourself in your bedroom, crying yourself to sleep, eating ice cream every night is how you're going to heal. You're isolating yourself, and isolation is the number one form in the world of punishment and torture. Every terrorist, every serial killer lives in isolation for the rest of their life once caught. They live in a cell and they get 1 hour a day outside with nobody else around them. And many of them have been interviewed and many of them say the worst part is not having contact with people. Why in the world do you think that the thing we use for punishment and torture is the way you're going to heal? It's not going to work. It's not going to work for you to be alone. And I'm telling you, as a church, we need you. And you need us too. You need to find a place where you can be a part of something. Amen. You need a small group. You need a focus group. And we are setting out as a church to start 100 small groups in the homes by the end of this year all across this community. But before we can do that, something's got to start in this church. Amen. The Bible said, is revival going to begin? If it is to begin, it's to begin in the house of God. You know where it begins? In your heart, in your soul. Your body is the house of God. Can we say that? Your body is the tabernacle. It is the place that the Spirit goes to worship. The Bible says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. Understand this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. It says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You need people in number 5 today in our series. We will shut down this section of our series, although the series will continue for the next couple months. This section comes to a close with this. Not only do I need people to walk with me, not only do I need people to work with me, not only do I need people watching out for my soul, keeping me safe and supporting me, not only do I need people to be there when life falls apart and to support and hug me when I'm weeping and to cry with me and to wait with me while I'm waiting on bad news or waiting for a trial to end. Not only do I need that, I need people to witness with me. Now this is where you get uncomfortable. Because being a witness for Christ seems to be the hardest thing for Christians to do. And I'm not going after you. I'll say it as a personal thing. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but many of us can talk about anything under the sun, but God gets brought up and we immediately get tongue-tied. We immediately get nervous. Don't look at that as a bad thing. God is so awesome that I don't know how to describe Him. God is so amazing that I can't find the words to even paint a picture with vocabulary to show you how good He is. It is hard to describe something that you've never physically seen, but you have physically felt. It is hard to describe something that you can't tell anybody where He is actually standing, but you know He's standing strong somewhere. It's hard. I understand that. And that is why you need a community. That's why you need a church. It's easier to witness together. Can I tell you, every one of us have a life story. And God has made it our mission to share that story with other people. I have people tell me all the time, I don't have a testimony. Then my next question is this. If you don't have a testimony, my question is, do you have Jesus? Well, yes, then you have a testimony. Yeah. Because Jesus is what you could not be. Well, I've never been in drugs, Brother Josh. I've never done the alcohol. I've never done these things. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? You don't need that. That's not a testimony. That's a mistake. I hate that I've been there. The testimony is this. I'm not there anymore. God changed my life. God made me whole. God delivered me. And today I'm new. The testimony that I have is the same testimony that you have. Whether you've drunk or not, you are somebody today because God has made you somebody. And that's a testimony to give. Amen. See, I'm going to tell you this. God has made it our mission, but God never sends a soldier to battle alone. God will never put a soldier out in the field and nobody else around him. God will never, Jesus Christ took 12 people with Him. God will never leave you. The Bible says He never leaves a seed begging bread. God will never put you somewhere and not have somebody around you to help support you. We need to be a witness. And yes, your life needs to be a witness, but it's easier to be a testimony when you have a group. Matter of fact, let me answer this question. If you're taking notes, write this question down. How can I be a witness? I'm going to surprise you with the answer today. Jesus said this. God says it this way. In the verse that we're looking at today, take your Bibles and go to John chapter 13, verse 35. He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. You know how we are to be a witness? You know how we're to make a difference? You know how we tell the world about God? It's not with your mouth at all. It's with how you love each other right here. It's how you love those that are in the family of God. How you love those that are around you. How you hold on to those that are going on. Can I tell you this? Let me answer this for you. You know what will attract the world to this church? You know what's attracted many of you to here today? It's not our buildings. It's not our land. It's not what we have to offer. Matter of fact, there's churches today, and if we're not careful, we'll be the same, that feel like the bigger the building they build, the more people will come. Or the more programs they have, the more people that will be drawn. Or the more that they can offer, the more people will want to accept. Can I tell you this? That is a lie from Satan, and that is why churches are dying, because it's not about a building. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what men can look at and see. You know what attracts people more than anything? The way you love each other. Had a meet and greet the other night. We sat here and we went around with people as we met them. We met some amazing people and we got to get their names. And matter of fact, I challenge you, in 2 months we'll do another meet and greet. If you don't know people and you haven't got to meet us, please come. Let's share our visions and let's see if God has us on the same page. But as we sat there, I was talking with Susan. She doesn't even go to our church. She visits our church. And she says, this isn't my home church, but I can't stay away from it. She's told me that several times. This isn't the church that God has called me to, but for some reason, every Sunday night and every Wednesday, He brings me here. I'm like, great. She said, do you have a problem with that? I was like, not at all. Not at all. You know, you're supposed to be serving where God wants you, not where I want you. You know what I want more than anything? I want you to know what love is. And I want you to feel it. And I want you to know how to show it. And I want you to be an example of love in everything that you do, more than anything. And if that means you're only here today, and then God calls you across the world tomorrow, then we will get you across the world, pray for you all the way as you travel, and support you every step of the way. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, Brother Josh, we want our church to grow. No. Stop. We want the kingdom to grow. We want churches to come together. We want people unified under Jesus' name. I am not interested in being advertised as the pastor of Grace Community Church. I said this to somebody on the phone last night, and I'll say it to you. I am not a pastor stepping on board to your ship that is sinking. I am somebody that cares coming to help you out. I will not come on board as a pastor if that's what you're looking for. That is not me. But if you're wanting somebody that cares, I'm all ears. Here I am. Yep. You say, Brother Josh, that's weird. Can I tell you this? You don't need a pastor today. You need Jesus. Yes. You need to thank God that you've got one if you do. You need to pray for him if you got one. If you're visiting with us, you're from out of town today, you're visiting because your dad goes here. Can I tell you this? The best thing you can do for your pastor is to let him know you're supporting him in prayer and that you're there for him. Yeah. Thank God, the Bible says, for godly men all around the world who are standing today. Some, their lives are in danger. May our hearts be broken for South Carolina today and what they've been through. There's a church coming together that three of their pastors have been killed. But did you see, anybody see the good side of the news? It's hard to find, but it's out there. Where they took that boy to arraignment. How many of you saw this? And they put him on video and they allowed the family to talk to him. And every one of them said this: we forgive you. We love you. They said, Wednesday night, we welcomed you into our church with open arms. We accepted you into our family. And now all we pray is that you can accept forgiveness and that you can repent and that you can find a Savior. And we love you. And I step back and I say, thank God, instead of riots, thank God, instead of burning a city down, thank God, instead of the church being under attack for how hateful they are, the love poured out. And when love pours out, guess what? It'll change the world today. Amen. The Bible says it's love that casts out fear. It's love that covers a multitude of sins. Right. I tell people all the time, stop trying to find the guy or girl that blows you away only physically. Stop trying to think that blowing away means you see them and they're hot. And you think, oh my goodness, that's the most gorgeous boy or girl I've ever seen. Stop. What it means to truly be blown away, singles, write it down. What it means to be truly be blown away is when somebody comes in and your first thought is, man, they're good looking. Because let's be honest, you can't kiss a frog, right? And your second thought is, man, they got a good personality. Man, they love Jesus. You know what it means to be blown away? It's when somebody walks into your heart and everything else disappears. Every guy, every girl in the world disappears. Nobody's as attractive as them. Every pain that's been caused from your past relationship blows away. Every wall that you've built because somebody has broke your trust crumbles. Everything, trench that you've dug so that nobody can make it across to get to you, it automatically is bridged and it's gapped. And the next thing you know, you're not sitting there on a date describing how bad your last relationship was. You're sitting there on a date praying that God gives you another one. You know what it means to be blown away? When somebody loves you and steps into your life and the love that they show you is all that matters. And when that day happens, marry them. Marry them, because love blows everything bad away to where all that remains is you. In pure form. You being able to be you. You being able to be whole and complete. We need to stop trying to change to attract the world. Yeah. We need to start being like Jesus and just love like He did. Right. Nowhere that Jesus went did He have nobody show up for church. He went on days that weren't church days. Can you imagine that? Matter of fact, if many of you, if I came out and said, you know what, we're going to move next Sunday to Saturday and we're going to have church on Saturday, many of you would be like, oh, I can't make it. Jesus never showed up on a Sunday to teach. Very rarely do you see Him doing anything on the Sabbath. But did He drive out with a whip on the Sabbath? You better believe it. Did He go in as a 12-year-old boy and teach them things that they couldn't even imagine? You better believe it. But everywhere that Jesus went, whether He was in a boat, whether He stood on a tree stump, whether He sat in the wilderness, wherever He was, there were thousands that came. You know why? He loved them. The Bible says that everywhere He went, He healed all their diseases. He solved all their problems. He gave them hope. He gave them peace. Jesus Christ never browbeat them and preached to them first. He always met their needs. And can I tell you this? Love does not see the damage that's been done. Love sees what can be rebuilt and remade. And today, can I tell you this? As a church, we look out here, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'll make you a promise. Today, if you're a sex addict, you could stand right there where you sit, and you could scream that out. I need prayer. I'm a sex addict. I need prayer. I'm addicted to pornography. I need prayer. I'm a liar. I need prayer. I'm a cheater. I need prayer. I'm an addict. I need prayer. You could say whatever you wanted to do. And can I tell you this? You will not be rejected. You will not be turned away. And I want you to answer this for me. How many of you sit there and you hear that and they say, that sounds good, but that's not reality? Let's just be honest. Slip your hand up. How many of you say, I've never been in a church where you could do that? All right, there's a few that went and they threw their hand up and they scratched their head. All right? The truth is this. I never have. Until this church, I've never stood in a place where I could stand up here and say I'm completely broken and not worry about you wanting to fire me. Last week I stood up here and told you my faith is shaken. You know, I was trained as a little boy with my dad being a pastor to never admit my weaknesses. How many of you were trained like that? Fake it. Act like it's okay. Because if people know what's wrong with you, they won't respect you. If people see tears, they won't take you seriously. How many of you have heard phrases like this and you're like, that's a lie? You know what? I'm thankful that today I could stand up here and say, I am just a man with flaws, a man that does not have a perfect past. I don't have a white picket fence around my house, and I'm not talking figuratively, I don't have one of those either, but spiritually, I don't have it all together. I am not 100% okay all the time. I am not perfect. I make mistakes daily, and if my wife says amen, I'm about to make another one. You know? The truth is, I'm just a man. A man that's been given a gift. It's not mine. A man that's been given a calling. It's not mine. I guarantee you today that if I wasn't a pastor and was asked to speak in front of a crowd, I would not be able to do it as fluently as I am today. I would not have words of wisdom just running through my mind. The thoughts that come out of my mouth are not mine. I cannot take credit for it. The messages that God has allowed me to preach over the past 8 years are not mine. I cannot take credit for them. You say, are you stealing them? No, no, they're being inspired. They're God's, they're His. They're not coming from me. They're not made for me to say, look how good I am. Because I look in the mirror and I see just how good I'm not. I see just how broken I can be. I know what it's like to cry yourself to sleep and then once you finally sleep to wake up and not be able to sleep any longer. I know what it's like to worry, and I know what it's like to be stressed, and I know what it's like to be broken. You say, Brother Josh, why are you admitting this? Because I can. You're not going to judge me. You know why? You're just like me. Every one of you are just like me. You say, well, Brother Josh, I don't have those problems. You're right. You might not, but you got problems. Now maybe say amen. I just hope the problem's not sitting beside you, right? The truth is, you know you're in a safe place when it's okay to not be okay. You know you're in a safe place when it's okay to admit that you have a need. You know you're in a safe place when it's okay to say, I need somebody, and people come running. Matter of fact, let's be weird. Yeah, but I get scared. Right now, since our kids have left and we got people out of town, I actually see open seats. I see couples that are sitting on rows by themselves. I see people that are actually sitting alone. Why don't we pause for 30 seconds and make sure that doesn't happen? Anybody willing to move and go sit by somebody you're not sitting by right now? Can we do that? You say, that's weird. You're in the middle of a message. I am, and everybody on the radio won't understand this. But can you do it? And I want to do this. I want to make sure that you get the name of every person on your row. I'm going to count to 10, and you're going to move. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Go. Move. Move. Find somebody. Not everybody has to move, but find somebody. Find somebody near you. All right, balcony, I need you to step up to the plate. There's someone on the sides. I need you to find them. Go sit with them. All right, for the next 15 seconds, you're going to get the name of every person on your row. Go for it. Every person that's in your seat, go for it. If nobody new came to your row and you already know everybody's name, turn around and get the names behind you. I'm not going to lie, some of you that thought that girl was pretty, I just gave you the chance to go sit by her and it not be awkward. If you missed it, you missed it. I'll give you another one later. But you say, you know what? That wasn't as awkward as I thought it was going to be. That it wasn't as weird as I thought it was going to be. But you know what you could have just done? You could have just saved somebody's life. I can't tell you how many calls I've had from people that said, Brother Josh, if I hadn't gone to church this morning, I was going to kill myself. I had one person say that they loaded the gun, they put it to their head, and all they heard was God say, go one more time. And they said, I didn't want to go. I just thought nobody cared. And they said, I came to church and you preached an entire message and it didn't do anything for me. And at the end of that message, I told God, see, I came and still nothing. And then they said at the end, all of a sudden you said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but let me tell you about a time that I loaded a gun and pulled the trigger and a bullet jammed. And in that moment, I realized God was saying, you still have a purpose. And they said, when you said that, all I kept hearing God say is, I've got a purpose for you. You know what, can I tell you this? A simple hello could be something that saves a life. A simple I love you could be something that changes their life for eternity. A simple moment of saying, it is nice to meet you and I'm glad you're here. A simple phone call saying, I missed you and I can't wait to see you again. A simple text message that takes no time at all could change everything. You want to be a witness? Start loving each other. That's the greatest witness we could have. Start being there for other people. My desire as a church is to be known for one thing and one thing only, that that's a place that'll love you. I'll share this, and if you're here, God bless you, sweetie. I can't wait to meet you after church. I don't know if you're here or not because I've never laid eyes on you, but last night I got a phone call after 11 o'clock and I'm normally in bed at 9:30, and I answered that call and I said hello, and they said, who is this? I told him who I was, and I could tell there was a little substance in the language. There was something slur in the speech. And I said, are you in an emergency? Are you in danger? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'll let you go. That's what they said. And I said, no, you won't. I said, what's going on? And they started pouring out what was going on in their life. And I said, be there tomorrow. Be there Monday night. I promise you, we will care about you. I promise we'll get behind you. I'm going to tell you this now. I want my dying day, I want this to be known, not by what I say to you now, but what I'll prove to you if you will invest in what God is calling you to do. We will care about you. And we will love you. You will not be a number here because we don't even count. You will be a name. You will be a face. You will be somebody. You know why? Because Jesus doesn't have a book of life full of numbers. He has a book of life full of names. And in those names, those are the ones that He has bought with His precious blood. And those are the ones that He loves. And those are the ones that He cares for. And those are the ones that will be secure in heaven. Those are the ones that He's preparing a place for even as we speak. And today, it is important to me that your name matters, not your number, not the seat you sit in. You matter. You're valuable. And if nobody else tells you that, then will you hear Christ scream it out at this moment? You matter to Him. Amen. You mean something. And we love you. You say, I don't know you. That's the great thing about it. That is the great thing about it for you. We don't know you either. Our minds are not made up on who you are. Our minds are not set because we've heard you say or watched you do. Our minds are not made up because somebody called us, and we get calls all the time warning us about people. And every time we ignore it, you know why? Because I believe that Jesus is a life changer, don't you? I believe Jesus is a love giver, don't you? And I believe that it didn't matter who you were yesterday. Can I introduce you to my friend? My friend will change today and forever for you. Today, can we make you different? And here's how we'll do it. Don't fake it. Be real. Let us love you for who you are. Because Jesus even said, though your sins are as scarlet, I can make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be like wool. Isn't it going to be great? You know, one of the greatest things about heaven is I won't have a reputation there. Aren't you glad about that? How many of you say amen? Amen. I won't have enemies there. I have a new name. I have a new body. A new home. Guess what? I got to experience a little part of heaven here when God made me new. The Bible says the death passes to life. In Corinthians, would you check this out with me? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I like what Paul says here. It seems like we are crazy. I got told all the time, you're crazy. You're a dreamer. You're fanatical. You're weird. I used to be like, oh man, I just wish they thought I was normal. And the more I get to know Jesus, the more I'm glad I'm not normal, aren't you? I'm glad I don't go to a church and I'm bored to death the entire time I'm there. And I'm glad I don't go to a church to where I'm scared to death of the person sitting in the balcony stabbing me in the back with their words more than their hands. I'm glad I go to a church and I can wear my jeans and my t-shirt. And I told somebody earlier, at least they're holy jeans, right? I'm glad that I can be me. How many of you say, you know what, it feels pretty good to be me?
Yeah.
Anybody like that? The Bible says, hey, if it seems just a little bit crazy, it is to bring God the glory. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Whether we're doing things that you agree with, or whether we're doing things that stretch your faith, it's good for you. The next verse says it all. Verse 14 says, either way, and I want you to underline these next few words, Christ's love controls us. The Bible says in King James, in the same passage, it's the love of Christ that compels us, constrains us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. How many of you say amen to that? I'm so glad. Can I tell you this? If it's hard for you to love the family of God, then it is safe for you to doubt yourself and ask this question, am I a part of it? Because the Bible says in that verse in John that this is how you'll know if you're Christ's disciples, by the way you love others. The Bible says nobody can hate their own brother and say that they love God. It's impossible. You say, well, Brother Josh, well, you know, I just don't like this and I just don't like that. Listen, can I tell you something? Hang out with me 24 hours. I guarantee you they'll find things that you don't like about me. And I'll find things that I don't like about you either. You'll smack your food when you eat and it'll gross me out. Or I'll chomp my gum and it'll give you a headache. You know, you'll pick your nose, you'll do something. And I'll look and I'll be like, oh, I'm never shaking that hand again. Makes you really think when you shake somebody's hand, doesn't it? The truth is there's something we don't like about everybody. If you want to be picky and nitpick the world, you'll find yourself alone. But the truth is the Bible says that we should love each other, make room for one another's faults, and we should understand this. It's the love of Christ that controls us. And when the love of Christ controls us, we become a witness like never before. We'll do things like never before. We'll do things that people have never even seen. It's love. We're celebrating Father's Day today. And you know what makes a father a good father? He's not ashamed or afraid to show and say his love. He's willing to prove it. And I love it. God has never vocally stepped on the edge of heaven and reached down and called your name and said, I love you. But the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God shows you every single day that he loves you. And I want to raise a church. I want to be a part of a church. That's why we started this church, that knows how to love other people, that knows how to love each other, that knows how to reach out for each other. I shared on the meet and greet a story. A couple passed our church. Two friends were driving down the road. One a non-believer claiming to be atheist. One a believer in God. They don't even go to our church. They got down to Shields Ridge Road. And all of a sudden the person looked to him and said, the atheist said, what was that building we just passed? And they said, well, that's a church. If you notice, we're not well marked or advertised. They said, that's a church. I said, why do you ask? He said, because I felt it. He said, I felt it when we passed. I've had several visitors say that when they walk through the door, they feel the presence of God. You say, are you bragging on your church? I'm saying, hey, good job. Good job. Way to get out of the way and let God be seen. Way to get out of the way and make it not about you. Hey, way to sing a song that you hate. Because I know you've done it. And way to be in an awkward situation. Way to be there at the door with smiles on your faces. Way to go when you're shaking hands and you're caring for people. Way to go when you're introducing yourself to strangers. It matters. It means something. And the Bible says when two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, He is in the midst. So thank you for being the church you are today. I'll say that from the bottom of my heart. But we haven't got to where we need to be yet. There's still a lot to learn, is there not? There's a lot of comfort zones, bubbles that need popped. There's a lot of I need to get out and I need to do other things. We got a women's group that's forming, not under a Bible study. They're just going to go to the movies. They're just going to hang out. They're just going to get to know each other. You say, under a church's name? No, under the name of Jesus, you need friends that know Jesus. You need people that will go with you and will celebrate the good with you, mourn the bad with you, stand beside you when it's hard, be there when it all falls apart, help you pick up the pieces, and tell you this, that God is good 100% of the time. He is there when it is evil. He is there when it is good. God never fails, and we're not going to let you forget it.
Amen. That's right.
The truth is, all we need is love. I'm telling you, and I want you to write this down, yes, community is God's answer to loneliness. And yes, community is God's answer to fatigue. Yes, community is God's answer to defeat. And yes, community is God's answer to despair. But community is the cure. It's God's healer. It's God's answer to fear today. The scariest thing in the world is to put yourself out there in front of people you don't know. How many of you say that is true? How many of you fear rejection? Anybody like that? All right? You'll always be single if you let rejection roll your mindset. The truth is this. You need to understand that perfect love casts out fear. Check out this verse, if you would, with me. Write it down in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. The Bible says this. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity. He has not given us that spirit, but He's given us power, love. It says self-discipline in the NLT. It says of a sound mind in the King James. Today you need to understand this. You will not have fear when you have love. When you're scared to death, it's because love's not there. You say, well, Brother Josh, there's times I'm scared and it has nothing to do with love. Can I tell you this? Love makes everything happen. Today, if you're going to step out and you're going to witness to a complete stranger, it's love that's going to do it. If you're going to invite people into your houses and do small groups, it's love that's going to do that. You know why? You're going to be scared to death. I get scared to death every Sunday standing up in front of you. You know why I still stand up in front of you? I love you. And it's what God has called me to do. And in that, when I get started, when I get going, you can tell because I never shut up. I keep going and going and going. You know why? Because the love overtakes the fear. And I look at your eyes and I see the tears coming down the cheeks. And I see the person that's grabbing their wife and they're shaking. I see the people that are looking at each other and you can tell the hopes and dreams are coming alive. And in that moment, I fall in love with you. And I'm like, God, just pour it into them and set them free.
Hallelujah.
It's love. It's love that makes the world go round.
Yep.
It's love that'll bring the world to an end. It's love that sets up the kingdom of God, and it's love that'll make that kingdom last forever. How do I know I can go to heaven? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son.
Yeah.
How do I know that God doesn't reject me? What can separate you from the love of God? Can heights, depths, principalities, demons? No! Nothing can separate you from the love of God. How do I know that? It's in His Word. Just like you will not turn your back on your children for making mistakes, God does not turn His back on you. But just like you would go running to your children to help them get back on their feet, God will come running to you. And today, I want a church that stands strong and says, we will run to the aid of those in need, but first, we will help those that are in the house of God. First, we will reach out to each other. The only moment you have to love somebody in this church that you're guaranteed is right here today. What if this is the last time you ever see the person sitting beside you? Will they know that you love them? Will you know that you proved your love to them? Or will you stand with regrets one day wishing you'd done more? Guys, hey, listen, let's stop playing home. And let's be men of God in our home. Let's stop pretending to be good husbands and let's actually listen. Let's actually care. Guys, let's stop going to church and praying that, you know, we get out early so we can do this, that, or the other. No, let's start seeking God like never before. And the Bible says this, you want the key to success in your life? If you're first seeking the kingdom of God, then all things will be added to you. I want you to understand, in closing, let's read a verse, and I'm going to give you two goals that we have in our church that I want you to take with me. Read this verse in Philippians with me. Above all, right, underline those two words. You want to know the secret? You want to know how? Above all means this is most important. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Now, is this heaven? Somebody answer that for me. Anybody know the answer to that? Is this heaven? Are you listening? Are you with me? No, it is not. How many of you are glad this is not heaven?
Amen.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. It says, live as citizens of heaven even though you're not there. Live with the power of God even though you're not standing in front of Him. Live as if you already have been fulfilled. Live as if every promise of God is real and true and has already been done. Live as if the Word of God has already been fulfilled. Live as if you're standing there in perfection. Live today as if you already know that your residence, your address, your souls, the P.O. box is not here. It's in heaven. It says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of good news about Christ. Then, whether I come to see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing, what's it say? Side by side, fighting together for faith, which is the good news.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this now. There are two goals we're taking as a church. Number one, we need to strengthen the community in this church. You need to be close. You need to get to know each other. Well, I'm not social. It's time for you to change. Well, I don't like people. Do you know Jesus? You say, that's me. No. No, do you know Jesus? Because Jesus was all about people. And it is going to be impossible for Him to be in you and you not have something in you that's all about people too. The truth is this, we need to get together and we need to understand that it's not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night that we get together. That's a lot. It's not just the church building. It's not just the Sunday morning 10:30 service that makes us a family. What makes us a family is knowing that we've got each other's back, that we stand together, that we are united, that we believe that the Christ, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is all that matters, and that the love of God is all that we need to do, and it's accept and preach and proclaim that the good news is this, Jesus is still saving sinners. How many of you say, you know what, Brother Josh? I believe it's the love of God that people need more than anything. Would you slip your hand out? Can we agree on that? I believe it's the love of God that people need more than anything. All right, then here's what I need you to do. I need you to first accept that in your own heart. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. You say, well, okay, I'm coming to the altar. Nope, stay seated. Stay right there where you are. It's not an altar that saves you. It's not me. It's not some fancy prayer I can leave you in. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth He's Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. So right there where you sit, you take Him and you say, you are the Son of God and I believe you died for me and I'll take you as my Savior. And now that we got that settled, and now that we're on the same page, can you start loving the person next to you? That's all I'm asking. Can you get to know the person sitting by you? And next week when we come in, can you sit somewhere different in the auditorium? Well, it might mess up my view. I look good from every angle.
All right, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. For those of you that don't know me, I do not have that kind of confidence, okay? My circumference is the same from every angle. Let's put it that way. The truth is, the quality of life you live is based on the quality of people you're living it with. You hear me? I'm lonely, Brother Josh. This is your answer right here. I'm scared. This is your answer right here. Because can I tell you, I'm scared too. But can I ask you something? And I want you as a church to see this. How many of you prayed for me this week? Just slip your hand up. I'm not even going to look. Look around. I felt that. How many of you felt like somebody was praying for you this week? Slip your hand up. Look at that. I promise you that happened. The truth is this, and I want you to understand. It's okay to not be okay. Because we know the one who is okay. And the one that will make you okay. And the one that will make everything else okay. The one that will bring you through. He won't make it go away, but He will bring you through it. Can I tell you this right now? We need to be strong as a family. Because in the end, isn't family really all you can depend on? How many of you have ever realized that in life? I can argue with my family, they're still my family. I can fight with them like cats and dogs. And believe me, we do. I'm not talking about my wife and my son. I'm talking about my family. It is weird. It is dysfunctional. But it's still my family. How many of you say, my family's kind of like that too? I've told people this all the time. A family can hate each other. But when you start hating one person in that family, that hate that they have for each other will turn on you. and a family that cannot stand each other will come together to bury you. How many of you found that to be true? Nothing should be stronger in America than our families. And unfortunately in America, our families are falling apart. Right. Nothing should be stronger in America than our churches. But unfortunately in America, our churches are falling apart. Nothing should be stronger than a group of believers come together under Jesus' name, seeking Him with all their hearts. But unfortunately, people don't come together like that anymore, do they? When's the last time you saw a true revival? When's the last time you saw the Spirit of God break out and you didn't want to leave? When's the last time you saw a church service that extended and extended and extended, and before you knew it, you'd been there hours and didn't even realize that it had been 10 minutes? When's the last time you saw a service that when they said, hey, we got to go eat, we got to go sleep, but let's get back together as soon as we're done? How many of you in your lifetime have never seen something like that? Would you join me and slip your hand out? I have never seen the Spirit of God move to where we have church, one right after the other, just because God's so good. Now let me tell you something. Before I die, that's going to happen. You know why? I pray for it every single day. You say, well, why do you believe it's going to happen? Anything you ask in Jesus' name, believing it shall be done. You know why? I'm praying that it happens right here. I'm praying that when it gets so real and I get so tired, I lay down and somebody else stands up and I take a nap in my office and they preach and the power of God just flows out. And then when they get done and they're tired, they take a nap and somebody else steps up. You say, Brother Josh, do you believe that can happen? I definitely believe that can happen. But that will only happen when the people of God say, I'm side by side. We're fighting together. We will conquer. We will make it through. You know, I tell you this and I tell people all the time, if we ever have work that needs done, we first look in our church. You say, what? Yes, if we need labor hands when we're building, we hire people in our church. You say, that's not fair. No, this family first, and then we can reach everybody else. If your family was hungry today and you had 20 bucks, I guarantee you, you'd feed them before you fed me. Now, how many of you say, you know what, Brother Josh? I would love for my church to become my family and not just my church. Would you slip your hand up with me? And I'm asking you to go to 30 days of prayer that God will strengthen the community in our church. For 4 years, we preached the grace part of our name. Now it's time to get into the community part. You cannot spell community without unity. You say, are we going to agree on everything? No. No. Most of you like the wrong college football team, and I will forgive you for that. I do. I'll overlook it. But the truth is this, we can agree that Jesus is all that matters, right? So our goal number one is strengthen community in this church. And then goal number two, which cannot be reached without the first, is that we're then able to strengthen the community that's around us. Can I paint a picture that I saw this past week? I saw a mayor standing in front of a council on a called press conference, scared because taxes are not covering budget. How many of you read the articles and saw the news? I saw where they're trying to figure out and they're bickering back and forth between it. And I'm not into politics, but I am into this. God heal Jefferson County. God, we need healing. I've been told by several police officers that the drug rate in this county is climbing so fast. Suicide rates are tripled this past year. Now, I don't know if those are true statistics. I trust who's telling me. But I will tell you this. I was driving by and I told my wife, I said, you know, wouldn't it be so much easier if we lived in a city and our church was in a big city? We could reach so many people. But then I realized that our church is sitting on McGuire Road on purpose for a purpose. We're in the middle of nowhere. We are. But we're here to start a movement. And it's not a movement of people coming to our church. It's a movement. There are churches right around us. I can name five right now that desperately need healing. Yes. How many of you know of a church right around us that's struggling? Would you slip your hand up? My prayer is that we do not grow off their struggle, but that God expands us so much within this place that some of us go over and help them find the healing they need. Yes. You say, Brother Josh, that's not how churches work. I don't want to work like churches work. I want to work how Jesus works. I want to do what God does. You say, well, Brother Josh, what if we only have 10 people because we've sent all 300 out somewhere else? That is a good day. That is a great day. But before we do that, we need to be strong. We need to be unified. We need each other. So will you pray with me that God doesn't just start a revival that stays within this church. That God starts a revival that spreads to this county. That spreads to our state. And eventually reaches all the way to the White House. How many of you would say, I believe God can do that today? Do you? The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their evil ways, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Stop complaining about the state of America and do something about it.
Yeah.
Amen? Because I still believe we live in the greatest nation on the earth. Do you? I still believe we're blessed to be free. And you may be saying they're going to take our freedom. They haven't yet. So what's your excuse today? You say, well, it's about this politician and that politician. No, it's about you and it's about me. What do we believe? Can we not love? Can we not love even though we do not agree? Can we agree to disagree with the way certain people live? Can we agree to disagree with the lifestyle choices that they're making? Can we see past their sin and see their soul? Can we say that God saves every type of sinner? And as a result, our doors are open to every type of sinner today. Thank God for that. Some of you wouldn't be able to be here, right? The day that the church has to be perfect to attend church is the day there is no church. Because none of us are perfect. But how many of you say, you know what? This is what I want. If that is you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. 4 years ago, I begged God to give me a church that would heal my brokenness. And when God called me to start a church with the men and the ladies that are around me, the very first statement we made standing on stairs on a Wednesday night, April 27th, in the middle of a hellstorm like we've never seen, we made this phrase. We will either be a godly church or a gossip church, but I will not stick around for a gossip church.